sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I'm drinking beer. It is Rancho West, organic West Coast IPA beer, brewed in Malibu, California. Sponsor us.
And I'm organic?
Organic.
What makes it organic?
No, organic West Coast IPA.
Oh, that's a city in California.
Yes, yep. It's a little sub-city in Malibu, California.
Makes sense. I buy their chips, organic chips.
It just makes me realize, like, you know how we separate all the little cities? Like, you know, people say, well, I'm from the Bronx, but they won't say they're from New York City.
Yeah. They're from that borough.
It's like Malibu. I'm like, I know it's not Los Angeles. I mean, it's still Los Angeles County, right?
Technically, yes.
So... And that's our sponsorship for this week.
Sponsor us.
Sponsors, please. Also us. We're not monetized.
We can't be bought.
We most certainly can. Don't listen to us.
We have no ethics. Yeah. And welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing Lisa Frankenstein. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, give her first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But first, we go back to the TV corner, or the best part of...
Yes.
Of John Carpenter's... Johnny Cars.
Johnny Cars. Syrup screams.
Suburban screams. Or so, episode one, excuse me, season one, episode six.
What is it? Prank caller? What is it? Jerky boys?
Phone
What's the name
stalker.
Of the episode? Oh, phone
yeah,
stalker.
Crank anchors. Yeah, crank anchors. There it is.
So I got a little bit of trivia because they're like what's it called? Making a scene? Not making a scene. Is that what it's called? The little mini. Vignettes they do with like different directors and actors about things that they're working on.
Okay, yeah, like behind the scenes or whatever. Yeah.
Well, it's more of like a little promo, and then they just like talk to this whomever they're supposed to be talking to about their past work.
Okay,
and then promote their new show. John Carpenter did one for the Sub Screamies, and I checked it out earlier today. So he said, yeah, it was an interesting experience for me, like just, you know, remote directing because they shot everything in Prague. I was like, oh, fuck. I never would have called that.
Wow.
Yeah. That he was like, he couldn't go. So he had his wife.
He
didn't
want to go. But yeah, gotcha.
But then he sent his wife to be the first AD on all the shoots.
Ah.
So,
you know, now that you said Prague,
it explains
yeah,
all the
it does
overacting,
make sense.
Right? Like they're trying
yeah.
to. I mean, they could be American and just bad actors, but it like.
It I mean,
like, it seemed like people's yeah. interpretation of what Americans are like.
Yeah, because none of this looked like America or the suburbs. It looked like Prague.
That does. On top of that, they did it again. Our lead actress looked nothing like the person she was supposed to be recreating or reenacting.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna call that out right now. They horribly, like, she's so overage. I thought the girl that they were actually interviewing looked like younger or more attractive than the older woman that they got to play her.
Well, I wasn't even gonna sure.
That was my thought. That was my only thought.
She was like wildly taller like the person she's supposed to be reenacting is like this petite woman who was being accosted and assaulted by some random person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there gets portrayed by this taller woman, like very, like rather tall woman, who is very nonchalant at the beginning and then gradually towards the end of the episode has an accent. It's like what's his name? Fucking, was his name Bobby in the thing? You know what I'm talking about?
The boyfriend?
No.
Ex-boyfriend?
No. The friend. The guy that was like, I'm gonna give you my Robbie. Best Robert Pastorelli.
Robbie, yeah.
Do you remember Robert Pastorelli?
Of course I don't. What we're talking about.
He died of like a drug overdose, unfortunately, around 2004. But if you remember the classic hit super blockbuster movie Eraser with Vanessa Williams and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Do you remember that movie?
No, I'm not even going to pretend.
With James Caan and James Coburn and James Cromwell, all the Jameses. He was also in Beverly Hills Cop 2. He was in Dances with Wolves. You know what? I'm just going to send you a photo of this guy because he was also in Murphy Brown. He was, I think he's famous for being in Murphy Brown.
He passed away. Is he like the... Just send me a photo, please. I don't want to guess. I'm going to say something stupid.
No, he inadvertently, I think, killed himself with a drug overdose, I think.
Oh, oops. Phones are not silent, guys. I apologize. Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Right? This guy, I think his name is Bobby.
I see what you're getting at. Yes.
The guy that I think I previously described as, it was almost like if Matt Berry was told to do a Sopranos character and that was the best he could come up with.
Yeah, okay. You did, yeah. That tracks.
Yeah, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
That guy made the show for me. And then I feel like as soon as he came in, everybody was like, well, we got to match this guy's energy. Like, there's a part. So how does this open up? So sorry, I'm probably going to talk a lot about this one because it blew my mind how much more entertaining this was. I kind of wish John Carpenter had directed all of the episodes because if they were this, like, The Room, like Tommy Wiseau's The Room-esque style of acting and directing, I would have enjoyed the shit out of this.
I don't remember how it
Robbie. The guy's name was Robbie.
I think it opened with just like, I don't remember the exact first scene, but it's like it opens with her finding she's cheating, her cheating boyfriend.
No, it starts, the cold open is, it's like a push in shot of somebody's like hoodie in the back, like very Mr. Robot style. Like,
that's right, a hoodie.
And he's got that like, shot later. All this like stuff that's supposed to mimic like, ooh, high tech hacker guy, even though it just looks like a bunch of random junk, to be honest. Like, you're, I could tell the set deck team had like $50 to fucking put this shit together.
No time.
And he's like going through a bunch of files. It's like a bunch of weird clips, like, I forgot, Stalker 1976, blah 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 blah. So it's probably a John Carpenter going like, oh yeah, put that in. I did that movie a long time ago. I'm from somewhere in Kentucky. I just found out that I thought he was from LA. He had talked about that in the interview. He's like, oh, you know, if some guy from somewhere, Kentucky or whatever, can do it, you can do it too. As he like,
what the fuck is going on?
I'm talking about that snippet, that promo thing that he did.
Oh yeah. He was, I'm just talking about,
he's from Kentucky. And at that point, the last like 2 minutes of this thing, he starts to rub his belly. I'm sorry, I'm going off track again, but John Carpenter starts to rub his belly, and then he just continues to rub his belly as he's telling people, like, you know, young people should just like, you can. We didn't have all this equipment. He's still rubbing his belly. So you know, you have all this equipment available. He's still rubbing his belly. you know, for God's sakes, you can shoot something on your phone, rubbing his belly. So I want to see it. Show me your short films, rubbing his belly. Ends the thing going like, all right, good job, John. We did great work. Print it or whatever, rubbing his belly. I'm like, okay, maybe he's got a tummy ache. That's why you can't go to Prague.
Yeah. Well, no, I think God of War 3 came out, so he couldn't go anywhere. So, gotta finish, gotta catch up.
Yeah, so it that's the cold open. This you never see who this person is. This person,
I forgot about that, but yeah,
it's clearly the most fabricated part of this story. Like, this lady is not talking about anything about this, because how would she know about this guy doing this? So John Carpenter's taking a lot of liberties and going just like, whatever, this is my fucking episode, and he did a great job.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I thought this one had like some nice, like they had a good, in the beginning, it had nice like story progression and moments, and they actually were trying to do something like make suspense and like trying to create characters and trying to create motive and try to create potential suspects. But I would say about like halfway through, they just kind of gave up, and then it just was like the same thing repeating itself.
Like, hell yeah, it was. And then it had the most dramatic fucking ending.
I know, yeah.
I thought it was just so, yeah, this lady, right, she's like, oh, I moved to somewhere in New Jersey because, you know, it's a safe place and I can, you know, not worry about stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, and then I, you know, I met somebody who was a friend that quickly fell in love, and I thought, this is it. I'm getting married. This is going to be the man I'm with. And then she's, what was the guy's name? It doesn't matter. He's like, but Steve, he's not a trustworthy man. That's it. And it's just a dramatic thing where, like, they barely have their clothes off. Like, the dude's wearing his jeans. She's like, oh, baby, no, you don't understand. It's not what it looks like. Well, I mean, what could it be, man? It's like such a...
Well, I don't know. You said they barely have their clothes off. It could be anything. What if he's... What if they're just resting because they were painting the apartment?
Oh, that's true. Or like, you know what? I don't want my fiance to see that I have this horrible blackhead. Can you please remove it for me?
Naked. It's
true.
In naked. Bed.
Yeah. But yeah. And then yeah. What, I guess like it jumps to several months later, and she's throwing a party for whatever reason.
It's her birthday.
It's her birthday. Sure it is. I'm just kidding. Her best friend?
Yep. Best friend? Best friend, boss from work.
Boss from, yeah. Well, I didn't, what was it, her boss? Because she just said she came in to apply for the job, my job, or where I work, or whatever, is what I just rewatched.
Oh, I thought it was her boss. But she was part of the hiring process?
I think
so. She met her, like, right away. Something along those lines.
She's there. It's like a backyard. There's people kind of stationed in different areas, you know, like the second AD thought he was doing some God's work or something. And you see this lady, the friend, just in the middle, just kind of casually dancing by herself before somebody comes up to her. I'm like, okay. I think what had happened was Robbie was with her hanging out and walked to go get punch as he was like, hey, I'm going to go get punch. Hey. And he walks away. Is what I'm imagining happened right before. But it's just a lot of weird choices. And then they talk. And then another coworker comes up. Somebody that we do not see for the remainder of the episode. And they're like, oh yeah, my husband's coming over, blah, blah, blah. And then her husband shows up. And then they have like a weird sexual tension for whatever reason. And then that is not anything that happens again the rest of the episode.
Well, see, yeah, I thought for sure that was the hint that maybe it was him. This very flirty husband of the friend. Even though he, like, blatantly did it in front of his wife. Very casually just hitting on her. Yeah. I don't know what that was there to establish. Maybe because she, as the one telling the story, is always getting hit on by men. Which seems to also be a theme.
I feel like she's only ever getting... She gets hit on by the cop. That's the only thing she kind of brings up, kind of. Like, why would he ask me these questions? Like, is that normal for a cop? Blah, blah, blah. But, like, this guy was completely fabricated and was never mentioned by her. Like, this, was not at all something she brought up happening.
That's why I thought maybe...
At a party.
It was him. Yeah, that's why I thought maybe it was him. That, that we were going to actually have some resolution.
No. I mean, they make it seem like the cop is also probably the guy and... Robbie is probably the guy.
They don't know who the guy is. Like I would say 3 out of 6 of these, there's no resolution. It's like half of them don't have any ending.
Well, none of them do, right?
No, the the one with the newspaper, that one, they catch the killer.
Yeah, but he's still waiting for the guy to die because he had escaped from prison once.
No, but I mean, they caught him though, right? Like, he's in jail.
But he escaped from prison already once. Who's to say he doesn't do it again? That's why he said, every day I'm waiting in the paper to read so-and-so is dead.
Because he wants to write his obituary because he has the perfect cruel obituary to write about this man.
And it's just the intro to John Carpenter's Scream, Suburban Scream. All right.
I mean, we shouldn't bother about any of the other ones. I don't remember how they ended, to be honest, but this one just doesn't end. She just like moves out of her house, right? That's kind of the extent of it.
Sort of. It does have a more dramatic ending. It's okay. What I was getting at was like her friend, and then there's a weird moment with her other co-worker's husband, but this co-worker is made up in John Carpenter's world, not something she talks about. And then her ex-fiance shows up with a present. Again, not told in any way by this lady, this completely made up story where he comes over and is like, come on, just I brought you a present. Come on, it's fine. And she's like, oh, fine. And she opens it, like, what is this? He's like, oh, it's the key to my heart. She's like, no. Like, what?
No, thank you.
She's like, no, thank you. Get out of here. And he's like, oh, don't be a bitch. I'm like, whoa, what is this?
Happy fucking birthday.
Yeah. So funny. And it's funny because Robbie comes out of nowhere like, hey, is there a problem? And he's like doing all these weird motions. It's like, I will protect you. Hey. He's like, it's like he talked to the guy that he's reenacting, and all he took away from him was like, oh, he's kind of like the Fonz, right? Hey.
Oof. Oh, I love the Sopranos.
And he's like, oof. Then like basically like, ooh, that was bad. And then all three of the friends, the three best friends that anybody could have, all have martinis out of nowhere. And two of them do, right? Her and her friend, the person that hired her, I guess. And they're like, oh, let's drink to that. And then they're about to drink, and then Robbie goes, hey, can I have that? And grabs the party. And then that's the way the scene ends. I was like, I couldn't get enough of this guy. I was like, come on, just make the show about him now. Fuck this lady.
Fuck this lady.
Oh my god. And then I just feel like it got more and more dramatic and funnier, and like inadvertently. Yeah. Like there's somebody stalking her in the house, which again, she never brought up that happened. Like that was not something that happened.
Right, yeah.
But then this guy is like harassing her, sending dick pics, which I thought was really funny because it is the fakest looking fucking dildo I've ever seen in my life. Like they had $20 to buy some sort of phallic thing, and that's what they came up with. Looked like a toy you would get out of a 50 cent machine, but for adults.
It was the most pretty much
plasticky looking penis. So a bunch of those things happen.
Why did they even attempt to like show a dick?
I don't know. I don't know why they did that.
They didn't have a good plan for it.
That was so funny. It was like. And then fucking Robbie is there like, hey, well, I took out the trash. I got the dishwasher running. You okay if I go? She's like, yeah, get out of here. Like, where are you putting him to work? Jeez. Oh, man. And then we get introduced to the cop, right? Because she's getting harassed and she's scared. And the cop is just like constantly flirting with her, so it kind of makes it seem like he's the problem too. And he's like, "Oh, you should install a Ring camera. I could help you do that if you want." She's like, "Why would he do that? I don't know." And then everybody's like, "You need like to get better help, blah blah blah." Oh, I think like they had to force her to go to the cops, right? Because she's like, "No, it's okay. I just want to live as normal of his life as possible." I'm like, "Geez, lady, like, get help, fuck." Because she couldn't have been bigger than like 4'2". No, I don't know. She looked like a short lady.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's getting just kind of harassed by this cop now, while getting bombarded with emails, text messages, phone numbers from different numbers every like 2 hours. Then I don't know. It reaches a climax where the killer keeps, or the killer, we don't even know if he's ever killed anybody. The phone stalker's like, "What are you gonna do with that club, or what are you gonna do with that axe, huh? What's with the hatchet?" And she's like, "Oh my god, how can he see me? Whatever." And then the TV turns on, so she puts a hatchet through the fucking TV. Which, again, yeah, she never said in her story, but they make her seem real dramatic. And even though this poor lady is very like, "I can't be bothered, you know, blah, blah, blah." And then it finally cuts to, she's going to the shed, and Robbie pops out of nowhere, and she's like, "I knew it was you." And he's like, hey, calm down. What happened? Oh, well, let's go look. And then he gets under the house, and he's like, "You really gotta move." It's like, okay. And then we finally get just her little testimony at the end going, "Yep. And it's been 6 years." I'm like, "What? Jesus. Fuck. 6 years and he still is contacting me, blah, blah, blah."
Thank you for that recap, John. As you're recapping it, I did some quick Googling.
Yes.
On Beth, because of course the story ends with just her just being like, "I moved away, I changed my number, blah blah blah."
So you Googled Beth and it said, "Oh, this is Beth, last name this, this is her social, this is where she lives now, this is her current contact if you need to get hold of her."
I'm calling her right now. I'm just gonna ask. No, say
we got Beth on the phone. Thank you for joining the pod.
No, I just wanted to see if there was any update, because she says that, you know, the stalker never got caught, right? So yeah. I look up to see if the stalker ever got caught. No, but she has a very strong social media presence, which leads me to believe, like, she's on Instagram, she has tons of photos, she has photos with Mario Lopez, so that's a big deal. And she, I'm thinking, and she has like TikToks and all this other stuff. My guess, I'm gonna say, John, she
made it up.
That's what I'm saying. Because why, if she,
I was hoping you were gonna go somewhere else with this. I thought you're gonna be like, "So I Googled Beth." I'm like, "All right, let's have it. How's Robbie doing?"
I'm calling her number 100 times.
need to find out what happened to Robbie. Justice for Robbie.
Justice for Robbie. She clearly just wanted to get. Maybe she was stalked, but probably not to the level she's talking about. Because she has a very, like, if somebody was terrified for their life and they never caught the stalker, then you would not be posting pics with Mario Lopez. And I think she also had Brat dolls and stuff like that she was taking pictures with. So.
That's what it seemed like. It didn't seem like she was ever afraid for her life when they were talking to her. But our dramatic portrayal lady was like overdoing the shit out of it and then adopting an accent towards the end. She's like, "Romanian accent. I know it was you, so, oh my God." It's like, where did this come from? You weren't talking like that at the beginning.
Yeah, so I'm going to call shenanigans on that. And hopefully she enjoys her 2 minutes of fame she has left.
because Robbie is reenactment actor is the guy that he's gonna blow up.
We'll keep tabs on on him.
It's been six years. Okay,
so we finished it.
That shit made me laugh out loud. I was like, oh man.
Yeah.
Like, that's supposed to be a dramatic reveal. Like, we could never fix it. It's been 6 years. And I was like, yep, it's been 6 years. So, it's okay.
Yeah. She also seems kind of crazy, the lady. Alrighty. Another successful show down in the books for us.
Again,
we'll not be watching season two. So,
if every episode was like episode six, I'd probably enjoy the shit out of this.
Yeah, but this
if it was overly dramatic like this, I think I would love it.
I mean, clearly that episode's lightning in a bottle. They stumbled upon it to a halfway decent episode. Let's be honest. Because
you know what that lightning was in that bottle? Give me 2 seconds. That lightning in the bottle is Daniel Charles Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. The guy that played Robbie.
Friend of the pod. Yeah. Yeah. Alrighty. We spent enough time with Suburban Screams. I'm ready to never... I'm okay with never watching anything Carpenter-related anymore.
Lies upon lies, but okay.
I mean, truly. I'm ready to watch his short film he made or something about his record he's releasing. All right, let's move over to our main review of Lisa Frankenstein. Ooh.
That's what I think of it.
That is early criticism of this movie.
All right. Thank you for listening to the pod. This was our Belch episode. You might want to mark this one NSFW. God, that took a while.
Yeah. All right. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Zelda Williams, Lisa Frankenstein. Coming in at number 3, Carla Gugino in own movie.
I was hoping she'd be more in this movie, but she is not.
No, but she was in her own movie, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
For Zelda Williams, Lisa Frankenstein, written by Diablo Cody. Coming in at number 2, young lady has mid experience.
Yep.
And coming in at number 1, Cole Sprouse relearning ass wiping. I can wipe my own ass. I can wipe my own ass. Big Daddy.
I'm more a fan of
Big Daddy.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't have known that offhand. But
you heard it here. Rolando hates Big Daddy, the movie.
No, I'm more of a fan of the other Sprouse brother.
Dylan?
Dylan, yeah. Yes. Well, after this movie. So, John, what are your first thoughts about Lisa Frankenstein?
I think that it kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you for listening. And as always, Rolando, say it. honestly don't think it was Diablo Cody's best work as far as writing.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the few times where I'm like, did she just kind of steal from other movies that she really enjoyed? Probably, right? Like, it's very My Boyfriend's Back sort of. You know, there's like so many movies that it's kind of like,
right? Yeah.
I don't think, what's her main actress's name?
Catherine Newton.
She was right for this part. it seemed like everybody went as all in as they possibly could to fit the tone of the movie. She wasn't very good at being weird or goofy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, I hate to say it this way, but she's clearly somebody that had never experienced an unprivileged life. You know what I mean? Like, she couldn't act sad or weird or... It was just, I don't know. Like the her rebellious nature against Carla Gugino, I think, was supposed to play off as, like, Carla Gugino sort of the bad guy. But I was kind of on Carla's side the whole time. I was like, well, no, she's got a bunch of really good points. Like, maybe if she was just honest with her, she'd, you know, listen. I don't know. I think we also kind of briefly talked about it. The direction of this movie is not anywhere. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It kind of felt like a bunch of ideas were presented and the answer was always, yeah, yes. Oh, that's great. Yes. Because even the design of the thing was very 80s, but it felt very...
Like
whoever did Fear Street, like that sort of idea of, like, it felt very Nickelodeon or, yeah, I guess like Nickelodeon idea of what the 80s were, or 89. I actually kept casually mentioning, because I watched this also with my partner, and I was like, you know, I don't know why I feel like I can relate to a lot of things in this movie. And I said, I know it's supposed to be the 80s, but it feels very 90s. It felt very early 90s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. And I didn't feel like there was any satisfaction in this movie. Like, across the board.
Oh, well, they did play the Pixies' Wave of Mutilation, which...
Like a slowed down version. It was still Frank Black, but it was like a weird slowed down version. Then there was like a bunch of other songs that they just did covers of slowed down versions of. And I'm like, oh, I thought this fucking trend ended like 5 years ago. I can't stand this shit.
Yeah.
Like the, what was it? Was it Radiohead that they did for the Social Network? Remember the trailer?
Which song?
I don't remember, but I remember the trailer was a big deal that somebody just did a very slowed down version. I think Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I hope this isn't a thing. And then, you know, cut to the next like 15 years of the same fucking thing. People are just going like, you know what this movie needs? A dramatic remake of an 80s pop song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I'll echo mostly what you said. I was kind of okay with, I was a little bored with this movie, to be honest. I was dang disappointed overall, because I think that there's a really good idea here. I just don't think it's particularly well executed. Tone is a big problem with this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's just never really feels, I feel like there's a nice, Darby Cody had a very clear path in the script probably about what the tone was, but I felt like the direction didn't mimic what was there.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably because Zelda Williams is like her first movie.
Right.
And I felt like, so tone was like kind of a big issue, and I felt like some of the way she wanted the lines to be delivered by the actors too was kind of not, it just seemed odd, weird, slow, very slow and weird. And they're trying to like say these like, you know, Jabba Cody writes very punchy, funny dialogue, and it's all there, but the way they're delivering it is kind of off. And I would say, One of the things I would disagree with was that I actually liked Catherine Newton in this part. I thought, like, early on, the idea of she's supposed to be like this weird girl, and I think they did a pretty good job of making her weird, like she's weird because she wears glasses, you know, but she's actually beautiful. They made her like, she like eats her own hair and can't, you know what I mean? She does like these weird kind of like behavioral things that I thought was pretty interesting in the beginning.
Yeah, but I feel like those weren't her choices. Those were, it all felt so unnatural. And then, which shouldn't be an issue, because I feel like every other actor in this movie was like, oh, I need to put this up to like 11. I think this movie was supposed to be written kind of like, not as extreme, but like, you know, Naked Gun or Hot Shots, where the actors are taking it serious, but the content is like wacky.
Right, yeah.
Because for her, like, mother to get hacked to death and nobody seems to give a shit, I'm like, this is clearly a clear choice.
Yeah, and I would agree with you that it the look of the movie was, I felt like it could have been more grounded. It seemed very exaggerated with color and costume and performance, and it seems like they were playing the 80s. They weren't, like, it didn't feel like the 80s.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it was actually the 80s, and everything felt like there's like, I don't know. They just, I think one of the few characters I liked was the sister, Taffy.
Oh yeah,
I thought that was a nice. Great, yeah. I actually liked the actress in it, and I liked the fact that the character could be this like shallow evil sister, but it's always, she always makes the other decision. It's played against the type of what you would expect the stepsister to be, and I think she also gives like a really good performance as well. So I think that was one of the highlights for me. Didn't particularly like Cole Sprouse either.
No.
I don't think he's, seems a little, like, I felt like this would have been perfect for
him if this was like a high school or college play.
That's true too. What I was gonna say, like, this would, who would have been cast in the 80s? This would have been like, what, Johnny Depp or
like John Christian Cusack, Slater or something.
Christian
like that.
Slater, yeah. And unfortunately, I don't think Cole Sprouse has those. No. Has that particular, I don't know, what is it? What do you call it? Like, movie star charm to him or whatever, you know?
No, he's still very like a kid.
To me, he's a TV actor. I don't, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. So I just didn't have any fun with this movie. I think the big picture here is I really honestly didn't have any fun with this movie. I thought it was pretty boring. And I was just waiting for more to happen, and things are happening that seem fun, that seem like they're going to be entertaining, but they always just sort of are there on the screen. So not the biggest fan.
I think the zombie guy should have been played by either Daniel Charles Doherty, played Robbie in Suburban Screams, Ronald Mladzik, but he would have been way too old and already passed away.
Okay.
Or Adam Brooks, who we were very in love with when we saw him as the dad in Psycho Gorman and as the editor in The Editor.
Oh, yes. Yes. Another Skeleton Boy pod favorite.
And I think the main girl should have been played by Jenna Ortega. No, wait,
what's wrong? Come on now. You're not even trying, John. You're just saying names. the first names that come to your mind. Jenny Ortega. You're like a movie producer. Who should we get for this part? Jenny Ortega.
Jenny Ortega. Mia Goth.
Just saying.
Oh my god, can you imagine how unhinged that fucking character would be if it was Mia Goth? No, I know Mia Goth can like not play unhinged all the time, but
yeah,
why would she ever tone down any other fucking role she gets at this point on? It is her MO and it's perfect.
Yeah, she was excellent in
Pearl?
Emma.
Oh, Emma.
No, Emma, yeah, she's in Emma. She plays like the Brittany Murphy part. That makes sense. I'm clueless. It's really good. Cool. You have any other thoughts? You want to get into spoilers?
Let's get into spoilers.
Wait! No. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
All right. The movie kind of sucked.
I think part of the issue also is that like it didn't make any sense. Like there's a tanning bed that they use that's malfunctioned is the excuse that can they put the creature or Cole Sprouse in it to add he's missing body parts because he's resurrected one night. And this tanning bed, this magical tanning bed, which they don't spend very much time at all explaining or even referencing as to why this tanning bed is this tanning bed, you know, why it's doing this. It's more of just like a throwaway joke, right? Because it's a tanning bed.
Because it's 80s. A tanning bed and it's the late 80s, early 90s. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm surprised they didn't do like a waterbed thing. Did they?
No, there was no waterbed jokes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't have like a clear. Let me just explain what they didn't have. They didn't have the clear telephones or the big shoe or lipstick telephones.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have the black cat clock where the tell is the seconds hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot they didn't have. Gak. I was kidding. where we including myself, able to convince a bunch of children that they really, really needed to purchase this shit that got everywhere. And that was the whole point of the toy, was that it was globs of whatever, which yeah. I think I later found out was mostly just glue.
Mm.
But yeah. Yeah. You know, so this tanning bed that acts as like the electric shock. But sure. It doesn't, because that is not what brings back Cole Sprouse to life.
No.
It is her affection for him and her wishing she could be with him. So he came back to life, and then she said, like, no, I wanted to be like dead with you. And I was like, okay, that's a dark joke.
Do you think that they were just trying to make, they were referencing bad 80s movies? Is that the idea here? Movies
I keep thinking it was supposed to be a spoof movie. Like, this was Diablo Cody trying to write a spoof movie and try to be, like, you know, zany and funny. Kind of like, I think this is a better example. The family in Psycho Gorman, you know how they all played it straight, but they were very funny, especially Adam mm-hmm. Brooks? I think here's what I'm going to say, and I know this might sound sexist or racist, you know, whatever.
Well, go ahead. Nobody's listening.
I think Adam Brooks should have played every single part of this movie. There, I said it.
I think it's like, clearly, I think they're trying to do what? Like, the what? Heathers?
Yeah.
They're trying to do... My Boyfriend's Back is actually a good call too. I didn't think of that, but
which Philip Seymour Hoffman was in that, right? Am I tripping, or was he the guy that like accidentally axed himself in the back of the head trying to kill the zombie boyfriend?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. It's been a minute since I've seen that movie.
Let us know in the comments below.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, I mean, they have. I just feel like they. What does he get back? His ear, his arm, or sorry, his hand, and then he gets his dick from the boy she likes.
From the boy that was sleeping with her stepsister.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was mentioning, so Cole Sprouse, like, it's like a dramatic slowdown with some 80s song playing in slow-mo. Chops off his dick where his balls were attached to. Mm-hmm. So essentially he made like a slice that was impossible. Right?
Yeah.
He like filleted his groin off. And somehow, which, you know, the anatomy's not there. Somehow his ball sack was still connected to all this instead of just flopping out. And in the shadow, it's like, oh yeah, it's a dick. But then the ball sack looked like it was the nutsack of like a 80-year-old man. It was like this large, saggy thing. I'm like, this poor guy.
Maybe clearly, they just had all women then. <make
this. laughs> I mean, it was very funny.
Right.
But just not there. I don't know.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a mess. I wouldn't say a little bit. A little bit's an understatement. I think it was a big mess.
It was a big, big mess.
I think it's a first feature. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Zelda Williams will probably get better.
Whenever I dislike a movie this much, I do go through a couple of other review people just to see their initial thoughts.
Okay.
You don't know. A lot of people kind of agree. They're like, well, this wasn't all that great. But then you got a lot of people going like, Diablo Cody's back. Like, okay. Wow, Zelda Williams, she nailed it. Blah, blah, blah. This is a new dream duo. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with any of that.
But I don't. We didn't even spoil. There was no spoils to be spoiled. She ends up. Okay, she kills her stepmom, Carla Gugino, and kills the boy she likes. Kills this kid that. So, I mean, he assaulted her because she accidentally drank something that was like a roofie or something like that, I think. I'm not sure what that was, to be honest. It was like acting like it was acid.
Mm-hmm.
And she was thinking of something else and like grabbed his crotch and he said like, well, don't start something you can't finish. So she ran away. And then kills him. And he's just like the nerdiest kid. I mean, who else dies?
Basically all the shitty people in her life dies. Like her mom is being kind of shitty to her, blaming her for a lot of the problems, the stepdaughter. And then the guy who tried to rape her dies. And the misleading crush.
Yeah.
Dies as well. And then I think he beats up an old man at some point, takes his clothes.
That's right. Kills a cop, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Kinda. I mean, all he did was like drop her in a grave. I'm not sure how that would have killed her. I mean, maybe he, I don't know.
So what happened at the end here? I was half paying attention, but I think I got the gist of it. Maybe I missed something, but she gave up her life for him, which made him human by using the tanning bed, which caught fire. So she died and became now the reanimated corpse while he became real again. Is that right?
I don't know if that was even the thing, because he was slowly starting to turn human more and more as the story progressed. Like when he finally sewed on Carla's ear, which you could tell was the one with the earring. Eventually, after he got like a new hand and blah blah blah, he just started becoming more and more human and less decrepit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing it was just a matter of time before he he also had sex with the second woman in his unnatural life.
That's
so
true.
Maybe he finally came to fruition and matured and could talk.
Right. Or not. Or I don't know.
It looked like she was back also at the end.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was no explanation at all for why there was... And I think that's where the movie really suffers, because you just are left with so many questions. And I think if they played it for straight camp and straight laughs, like if some of the actors are just a little better about understanding how to do this, I don't think I would give a shit. I'd just be like, oh, that was great. That was funny. Like, the whole thing was wacky and funny.
Right, yeah. I was missing a bit of charm like that. So even, like, I think even if it wasn't the best acting, there was still like a bit of charm in the performances, in the direction, or in the story. Like, if the story was easier to follow and made more sense, I think we would have maybe... I think those are the reasons, or the reasons why things become cult classics, right? Because we can appreciate that it isn't the best, clearly, right? But it's doing something entertaining. And I think this one was lacking.
Yeah. Like Tommy Wiseau's The Room is charming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well.
Okay. I think that's it. Yeah. I don't think we got anything else. There's nothing else to say.
Yeah, we spent like half an hour talking about Suburban Screams, or at least I did, because I was very excited about this episode.
Alrighty. Stalker. Okay. Alrighty. Let's go ahead and rate it. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones. Ooh,
ha. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you know.
Show us your
sexy spooky bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give Lisa Frankenstein 3.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yep, I had a 4 in my mind, which... I think we equally didn't like it, so we'll just keep it.
I gotta give
it
in between a 3 and a 4. Like, I don't know, I feel like a 4.
It's poor. I think that's a poor. It's poor. It's not. Yeah, it's not rich.
It's hard, because I feel like the average, pretty okay horror movie is gonna be around 5, no matter what, between 5 and 6, is what usually I feel like it is.
Yes.
Poor is between like 3 and 5, 4. I mean, yeah.
Right. All right. We'll pick something better next time. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
hey, stay spooky.